Check. Hello.
Hey, Nick, how are you?
Good. How are you doing?
Doing good, man. It's weird to talk to you because I'm so used to seeing you on YouTube and all that. It's weird to actually be able to talk to you one-on-one, you know?
I feel that. Yeah, I'm sorry for the videos existing, though.
Why is that? I love your videos.
Oh, thank you.
Yeah, no, I love watching them. I discover new bands that way, too, because I know you're heavily into all those other types of subgenres of metal, you know?
Yes. Yes, usually I like to get called out for it not being true Cavalt enough, because the bands I listen to usually have more than 100 monthly listeners, so it's always fun watching some of those comments.
Oh, I bet. Yeah, I'm sure there's a lot of gatekeepers hating on you for that. That was one of my questions today, too, was to ask, like, how do you deal with all the hate comments and that sort of thing?
Usually just laugh.
I figured. Yeah, right? You already have the 600,000 subscribers and all that, so you must be doing something right, you know?
Yeah. But thanks for having me, man. I'm excited to chat.
Oh, of course. Yeah. Thank you for joining. I mean, it's crazy that, like, I know I started watching you last year, and then I started watching your videos of with famous musicians and all that, and I get so nervous doing these types of things. I'm like, how do you have one of these, like, famous metal musicians sit down with you and watch TikTok videos and actually vibe with them, you know?
That's something I have to get used to. It, like, you know, it's not like, oh, now I just have every, you know, big musician on my show every week or anything. It's just like, it's something I, you know, being in this field, people tend to put other people on these bigger pedestals, and that's, you know, that's natural. That's just what happens. I mean, you know, you go to shows, you see your favorite band member, and you're like, oh my god, and you, like, flip out, and then you're awkward, is really awkward, and, you know, and you try to just kind of even just say, like, hi, basically. So yeah, like, that's something I had to just be like, all right, look, like, this person's coming on my show, all right, like, I'm gonna interact, like, you know, I want them to be comfortable. That's always my mindset. Number one, let's make them comfortable, let's make them have a good time, because I feel like that's even sometimes, like, a rare thing when it comes to even just, like, whatever, a podcast or, like, that type of, like, live streaming medium. So with that in my mind, I'm like, okay, Nick, shut up, chill, focus, and just make sure the guest has a good time. So just have fun, be chill. And it seems usually, it's so funny, I always ask guests to come like 10 minutes before sound check, and it's for sound check, but also to, like, break the ice, because, like, always that first 10 minutes, no matter who it is, it's always kind of weird and awkward. You don't really know how to, like, vibe each other. And then after 10 minutes, like, they're comfy and they're chill. I'm like, okay, well, this is easy. I'm just talking to a person who I'm a fan of, but, like, you know, likes this stuff. They're just a person that does this like anyone else, you know?
Yeah, no, exactly. When you think about it, it's kind of crazy that, like, pretty much all metal musicians are just, in fact, nerds that can scream really aggressively.
People are really introverted too. Like, I'm an introvert too, so that's why it's like, it's very rare I'll have, like, a very, like, extroverted, like, very loud and, like, talky and, like, very, you know what I mean? Usually everyone's, like, pretty chill and reserved, and then when they're starting to feel comfortable, then they'll, you know, talk more and have a good time. And again, just, like, you're hanging out with them, like, after the show, like, shooting the like, that's kind of the mentality I always want to put it in. And that's also why when I, like, do it, I don't sometimes call it even, like, an interview. I'm just like, hey, come hang out, listen to music, because then even that, like, kind of sometimes puts them in that mindset at ease, where they're not like, oh, like, when are they going to put the gotcha questions, you know? They're less on guard, and then it's just easier to talk with them usually.
I actually got the chance to talk to Chris Motionless for the first time 2 weeks ago, and it's so weird to hear him speak and just be, like, so soft-spoken and that sort of thing, and then you see him on stage, and you're like, what is going on? But you also had a Will Ramos not only on your video, but also in a track with you. What was that like?
Oh, it's great. Will is, like, he is such a sweetheart of a dude. Like, he is so nice. I mean, having him on the stream was great, because I was just a fan of what he was doing. And then from there, you know, just getting to talk with him a little bit more. And I think it literally just started with him making a tweet or an Instagram post of, like, yo, like, looking for group for, like, being an instrumentalist to do some covers with. And I'm like, so fast. I was just like, me. I mean, that's what I do. That's the thing I've done before. People don't even know I play guitar sometimes, which is funny. But yeah, like, that's all I did forever. So I was like, me, like, let's go. And he was like, oh, okay. And I showed him what I can kind of do, and he was like, oh, sick. So yeah, just getting on that level and starting with a cover, and then also continuing to do more now. We're just finishing up the next one. Has been really cool, just getting to know him, shoot the shit, talk with him. Like, he is one of those dudes that are just really chill and down to earth. And, like, he knows he's, you know, he's definitely aware he knows he's good at what he does, but he has zero ego. And I'm like, really, dude, like, you're really good. Like, you have no ego. And it's just like, yeah, like, he has no ego. He's really chill. He's just like this wholesome dude that, like, is a crazy metal fan. That's basically what I got from him.
He seems like the type of dude that, like, he'd be the last person you'd want upset, because that would be, like, the worst thing possible.
It would be, like, hurting, like, a small little cute animal, yeah.
Absolutely. It's like, when did you start learning to play guitar, though? Because I've noticed, like, you've done your riffs and you've done amazing songs so far. I love the industry song. Of course, we can't play that because, you know, all the cuss words, you know.
Yes, there's a lot of cuss words. Thanks. Yeah, I started playing guitar when I was, like, 9, so it's been, oh, my God, almost 17 years. Damn. Yeah, it's been a minute with guitar and, you know, songwriting a few years after, and then everything else just came necessity out of YouTube, like learning how to, you know, I had an electronic kit for a while, so I do know how to play drums, like got an electronic kit, and also I know how to program drums pretty decently, you know, bass. You know, I just, like I said, you just learn as you are, like, well, I need new content and I need to do new things. And vocals right now was kind of the last thing I learned out of all of that to kind of complete the picture of instrumentalist, plus I can do stupid animal noises.
I was gonna say, how did you develop that scream? Was a lot of, like, shower sessions? You're like, okay, here we go, and just start screaming like that? Or what got you into that? Because I know some of my friends are trying to learn themselves, and I'm afraid they'll hurt their, you know, vocal cords and all that. And
yeah, it was a lot of just trial and error. And once I understood the psychology a bit behind it, of like, okay, your voice can do this. You just have to understand how to activate the right areas. Like, you have to activate the right muscles of what to do. And you have to understand what you're controlling and how to control it and how to control airflow. That's the same thing with anything I do. Once I start learning, I'm like, what's happening? And then once I kind of compartmentalize things and start to understand what is actually creating this thing, then it's just the grind. For me, that pure, like, practice part has never been an issue. Like, even when it came to guitar, it was like, oh, I want to learn sweep picking. Well, it's always like understanding the technique that, like, is, like, deadly for me. But then as soon as I understand the technique, it's like, oh, I just need to do it faster now, or I need to do it better. Okay, that's just reps. I've never had problems with reps. So that for me was not a problem with vocals, where I feel like it's the opposite for a lot of people learning things. It's always, you know, techniques, like, oh, it's like, okay. And then they just don't want to put in the reps to, like, get to where they want to go. But yeah, it's just controlling airflow. It's understanding what you're doing when you're constricting things and holding things, and, you know, what's actually going on in your throat. That will be the best way to understand if something is safe. And also, just feels, it should feel okay. You know, like, it should feel like you're working out. It shouldn't feel like you're getting stabbed.
Right, yeah. No, I was watching your review videos, and I kind of see, like, how you dissect the song, really, and you can listen to it as a musician. Is that sort of like a skill to have, or a curse as well, because you don't like a certain part of the song? For me, like, when I listen to a new metal track, I'm like, I like the sound of this, it sounds great. But you actually listen to, like, the riff and the drum beat and the way the lead singer does his thing and all that. I can't even come up with the proper verbiage for it, but, you know.
I think it used to, and then I just started, everything I did started to shift from, because I started as a guitarist, it was like I had a guitarist mindset. It's like, I can't listen to a song unless there's, like, fun guitar work in it. You know, it's like that. Like, I'm very guitar focused. And then I was more musician focused in general, just, like, you know, caring about the instruments and some of the technical ability. And then I just, as I got older, I shifted to just, like, a consumer. Like, do I like I'll throw on lo-fi, and then I'll throw on random breakdowns that have, you know, it's easy to play, but I don't really care because it sounds good, or gets the energy out, and connecting through things in more of an emotional way. You know, even if something's heavy, like, that's emotionally heavy. Like, it's different than just being heavy for the sake of it. So ever since I started kind of doing that more, I do just listen to things, like, on a very basic ground level. And then when I'm like, all right, let's analyze, that's when I'm able to then go back and be like, okay, let's pick this apart now, which is like, it's almost like a change of mindset in the moment, where it's like, all right, listening as a consumer, all right, now reevaluating as a musician and being able to actually understand those things. Because, I mean, I've been doing this stuff for a while.
I watch your videos, like your review videos, of course. And one of the more recent ones was Parkway Drive's glitch. And I was reading the comment section and it was like, Nick, you can be negative sometimes if you want to be. But when I'm thinking about in your case, because obviously, like, even with me, like, I don't want to be too negative because next thing I know, I'm interviewing like one of the guys from Parkway Drive and I just completely bashed their song. Do you have that in mind as well for when it comes to your review videos?
No. So this is my mindset. I know a lot of people think I'm just like always positive, but like I've tried the this sucks because this sucks route. I've done that like in the past. I'm like, this didn't add anything. The band doesn't even know what to take from that. They're just like, okay, this person doesn't like it. Like, who cares, right? It doesn't actually add anything constructive. So once I realized that, basically now I am decent about negative with some things. I'm just constructive with how I present the negativity. I'm like, same thing with Parkway. That's a great example. It's like, as soon as I'm like, okay, I'm listening to this. Okay, they're not doing metalcore anymore. Okay, I'm out of that mindset. I'm not listening to this as a metalcore fan right now. I'm listening to what are they trying to go for? And that's more so what I'm judging when I'm doing a reaction. It's like, what are they going for? Are they going for like a radio song, like with replay value? Okay, I'm going to judge it as, is this a good radio song with replay value? I'm not going to try to be like, is this a game-changing song? And that's what I say very frequently. Like, even with that song, I was like, this is good. This is for festivals in Europe. Like, that's what this song was made for. This will go harder than any other song they have live in a festival in Europe. Like, once I kind of see that vision, I get it. I'm like, okay, this is objective. This is really good for what they're going for, right? Now, is it game changing? But no, it's just a solid festival core song. And that's kind of the way I analyze things and critique it in that sense. That's me being like, yeah, they're going for what they do. It's not something I'm going to have like always on repeat. It's a chill song. It's like an, you know, it's an easy replay song, but it's not something I'll be listening to probably like 2 years from now. That's how I usually present it. So that's just kind of how it goes for me. And I know some people are like, Nick, you need to be more mean. And I'm like, that the bands won't. Why would I do that? Because then the band just says, what the you know, like, what is this, right?
And the Spotify videos make me laugh just because you're just completely ranting about the playlists and saying how they're combining these two, deleting this other like playlist. And yeah, Spotify, like, I know I can't mention that because I'm in radio and it's like the S word, you know, Spotify's yes. Our big enemy here. But people do use it nowadays just because they like the convenience. But at the same time, yeah, they kind of just downgrade the metal genre to the lowest point because you have to scroll a little bit, like what you've pointed out before, to get to metal.
Yeah, they don't. And that's, you know, it is what it is. Metal is not the biggest thing, you know, in the world. It's getting bigger and there's more mainstream outlets that are caring about this stuff. And just, you know, like the younger generation, like, is just into it. Like, it's weird. Like, this new generation of kids on TikTok and stuff, they're like, their parents are growing up listening to Suicide Silence with them. And like, you know, like, it's, I feel like in the next like 20 years, there's going to be like a dumb amount of metalheads, like way more with the next generation. But yeah, it's, you know, it gets valued how it's valued, and that's just how it is, and it's fine. People want aggressive music, or, you know, it doesn't just have to be aggressive. I mean, metal is very broad, but, you know, they have to scroll a little bit and find it, and it is what it is. But it does keep kind of growing, and as long as there's things in that space that keep growing that make a stance and make a statement and go through these different mainstream ways, like, even if a band, metal band, gets big on TikTok, like, that's awesome, right? Because it's like, you can't ignore what's happening. Then it's just, that's what you get to the point of, is like, here's what's happening. Mainstream can ignore it as much as they want, but they won't, because they want viewership and they want to monetize and they need to go where things are popular in order to do that. So, you know, it's something that I'm very aware of, and it sucks, but like, I'm not too worried, because I do think within like the next 10 years, it's just, metal's just gonna go like, ooh, like, just grow and grow and grow.
Yeah, that's another thing too, because I know like the resurgence of like sort of pop punk right now with some of these artists, yes, out there. But then you also have the show like Stranger Things with Eddie Munson doing the Master of Puppets riff, and all of a sudden kids are into Metallica nowadays, or now, and, you know, they're going, yeah, crazy on into Metallica, and hopefully at some point they go into Lorna Shore, you know, like that band could defeat Vecna immediately.
Yeah.
You know,
I started with, and not a lot of people know, I started with punk. It was like my first intro to like music. Like, that's what my cousin would play, like Rancid, NoFX, and like Blink-182. Like, that's, and now I'm listening to dumb things, like, you know, like the dumb, heavy, inaudible things. Like, the trail just has to start somewhere, like, and then there's the gateway bands, which get you know, such bad reps, but they are so important and people just dog on them all day. But they're the ones that are the ones, like, oh, like for me, like I went from punk and then it was like Under Oath, and now it's like, oh, now it's As Lay Dying, now it's Killswitch Engage, now it's heavier stuff, now it's heavier stuff, right? And it's like, same thing, like Breaking Benjamin, 3 days, all 3 days Grace, like that's all, those are all bands that get just completely dogged on in the metal scene, but like most people grew up listening to not metal and then one of those bands and now listen to metal.
So. Yeah, definitely. And do you have like those guilty pleasure artists, like you want to say like, okay, I'm gonna go away from metal for a little bit, come back in a, you know, a little bit of time, but do you have like a band like Walk the Moon that you like or something?
I mean prospectively guilty pleasure, because like for me, I don't really like, I'm like, I listen to weird stuff, like to me memes are stupider than listening to like the trap country whatever, right? But in terms of perspective and what people would assume in the metal scene is like guiltier things, lo-fi stuff is awesome, like every the math rock scene stuff, which again, like it's not really frowned upon in the metal scene, it's just like not metal, right? Trap stuff, you know, definitely some trap stuff. You know, there's Corpse, Scarlord, Ghostmane, and then there's, I'm definitely into Scythe 666. They're pretty cool, because again, these guys, they're all metal kids. Like all of these people doing this trap metal stuff, they're all metal kids, just like doing something fun and different. And I feel like that's probably the guiltiest pleasure because of the messages that seem to be usually up front, which is, you know, money, girls, you know, that kind of stuff, which I don't really care for that either, but the music pops. So yeah, I guess that, or like just some old school pop, like pop in like 80s 90s stuff, like I'll throw on George Michael Careless Whisper any day, like that's part of my like stream ritual, because it just like goes so hard. So
it does,
I don't know, I'm weird.